Levi Brackman here with the Wisdom for Business and Life podcast. Thanks so much for joining. Today, I want to talk about meaning and meaning in life and meaning in general and why we seek meaning as humans and what are the upsides to seeking meaning and what are the potential downsides to seeking meaning. So, just a little bit of a background. I actually did a PhD in psychology where I focused on meaning and purpose in life. So I've spent quite a bit of time in my life thinking about meaning and purpose. And one of the things that I discovered as I was studying meaning and purpose in life is that we as humans, we're meaning seekers. And not only are we meaning seekers, but we're meaning makers. What that means is that we look around ourselves and we try and seek meaning in everything, and we will find meaning in things no matter what. So we try and seek what's called a sense of coherence. We feel unsettled as humans when things don't make sense to us, when things don't seem coherent. Somehow, when things happen around us and we just can't make sense of them, and they just seem to be random, we feel as humans a deep sense of discomfort. We don't understand why that is. And therefore, we feel uncomfortable about it. We are conditioned as humans to expect everything to somehow make sense. And when it doesn't, we will assign a meaning, even if that meaning is not correct. So let's unpack this a little bit and see what the results of this could be. So on the one hand, we've got a very positive outcome from seeking meaning, because as we seek meaning and we need meaning in life, we attempt to gain knowledge, and that drives us to deeper understanding. It drives us to learn more, to gather more data, to gather more evidence, so that somehow in the end, it will all make sense to us. And we build one piece of knowledge, and on that piece of knowledge, we can then stack another piece of knowledge. And each piece of knowledge that we have, if it's based on true evidence, is a building block to the next piece of knowledge, the next piece of knowledge, until eventually we have a lot of knowledge. And based on that knowledge, we can create new things. The source of all our creativity is the seeking of meaning. Because we seek meaning, we seek understanding, and as we seek understanding, we learn more, and the more we know and we understand, the more we can create. And we as humans, because we've sought meaning so much, we've had the ability to create amazing things in our world. You look at all the innovation that has taken place over the last 100 years since humans discovered the scientific method. Which the scientific method really is the concept of trying to seek meaning in evidence and in data all around us, and the ability to be able to do experiments and understand the outcome of those experiments, and then to build upon that. That has unleashed a huge amount of creativity and a huge amount of deeper understanding of the world around us, and therefore flourishing for mankind. The fact that I'm sitting here in my office talking into a microphone, and you are now listening to this, whether it's in your car, whether it's in your home, whether it's on a walk. I spoke, you're listening to it, and my ideas and things that I've thought are now being transmitted to you. This is something which has come about through the marvel of technology that exists today, which came about as a result of the scientific method, which came about as a result of our deep desire to seek meaning and coherence and understanding about the world around us. So the tremendous creativity and the tremendous gains that this seeking of meaning and coherence has resulted for humanity is huge. And that is a positive aspect of us seeking meaning. There, however, is a downside to us seeking meaning. And that is some things that are unknowable. We're just never going to know them. Humans don't have the ability or the tools to know some things. We can't experiment on them. We can't gather evidence about them. And therefore, we're just not going to be able to understand them. That doesn't stop us as humans from trying to. It doesn't stop us from speculating about the thing. We will continue to try and probe and delve into and seek the meaning of something, even if the true meaning of that thing is beyond our grasp or ability to attain. Let's think of a number of examples of this. Some of humans' deepest desires are to understand the nature of life itself, why we are on this planet, why we were born, why we live, why we exist, why everything exists. And then also, part of that is, where are we going ultimately? Where will this life lead and what happens after we die? We even have a name for this, and it's called eschatology. It's a part of theology which is concerned with death, judgment, and the final destiny of the soul and of humankind. So those who are seeking this ultimate meaning of where is the destiny of all things, they study something called the eschatology. And it's a whole field of study. They're trying to seek meaning and understanding of what is the final purpose and destiny of the human existence, of the human soul. And as a whole field of study, there are multiple theories and theses about it. And lots of thinkers and lots of writers. And throughout the ages, people have opined about this. But the reality is that these are things that we cannot really know the answers to because we don't have real evidence. That doesn't mean that we don't have human experiences which seem to perhaps shed light upon them. But the evidence and the data is just not there through which one can gather true coherence. That has not stopped humans from seeking that sense of coherence or seeking that meaning in these things. And religion is one of the outlets through which humans try to figure a sense of coherence and meaning within these things that are really, from a scientific perspective, at least unknowable. And religion will offer solutions to them and things that one can believe in. But it's important to know the difference between the things that one can actually attain true knowledge in, and therefore true meaning and coherence in, and those things which one cannot. So that doesn't mean that one shouldn't try and seek it. That doesn't mean that one shouldn't have options to believe in for those things. But it does mean that one needs to be clear about the things that one can actually attain true meaning in based on evidence, and those which one doesn't have evidence and therefore one is grasping to try and figure it out based on human experience, based on human thought process, etc. And then one has options that one can believe in, but they're options that one can believe in, and belief by very definition means that one doesn't have solid evidence and therefore one believes in that thing. Right? You believe in it because you don't have solid evidence for it and therefore it's a belief. One never says, for example, that I believe that I'm sitting here in my home in New Haven talking into a microphone recording a podcast, because the term belief is just simply not appropriate to that statement. It's more that I know that I am sitting in my home in New Haven recording a podcast. That's something that I know. I have evidence for it. So don't make the mistake of confusing something which you know. know something which requires belief. Now, belief can also bring one a sense of coherence. And I would argue that the reason why humans need belief is because we seek and desire and in fact need a sense of meaning and coherence in even in those things that are unknowable. And that's why religion offers one's options of that things that we can believe in, which fill in the gaps when we don't have true knowledge of something. But that is all fine when they are constructive. And a lot of the things that religion gives one to believe in are very constructive. So, for example, what values should I have if you don't have true evidence? What should morality be like? What are the things which are moral and immoral if I don't have true evidence? Religion gives one options to believe, to fill in the gap in those things, and then tells a story which can help one get meaning behind those options. But then there are things that one simply can't know the answer to, and one just makes it up from nowhere. And that's where conspiracy theories can come in. One observes things that happen around one, and one is unable to make sense of it. And therefore, one can jump to conclusions based on the limited knowledge that one has and become very convinced that what one sees as making sense and as being coherent is actually, in fact, the truth about it. And then it gives one meaning. And when it gives one meaning, one starts to have very strong conviction about it. And then when one has very strong conviction about it, that becomes one's facts in life. And then you make a big mistake between what is giving you a sense of coherence based on what you surmise about something and what the facts are. And that can lead to all kinds of negative outcomes. So I'll give you one example of this that really stood out to me during the pandemic. So my wife just finished nursing school and is about to become a registered nurse and start her first job. But throughout the pandemic, she was working in hospitals and often in the COVID wards. And so she saw what was really going on inside the hospitals, and it was pretty grim for the most part. Now, I had a friend of mine who had nothing to do with the medical field and wasn't in the hospitals. And during one of the surges, he was basically of the opinion that the whole thing was a hoax by the government. And he's brought evidence to that fact. And he said, look, if the hospitals were so overloaded, why, when people go out there and take pictures of the emergency departments, do we not see, ambulance after ambulance coming in, you know, unloading COVID patients? So, you know, you go outside the hospital and outside the hospital, all things seem calm. And if outside the hospital where, you know, the biggest surges of COVID cases are taking place, things seem calm, then obviously there can't be a surge. So he was trying to make a sense of coherence from the fact that he can't see, ambulances showing up the whole time with patients. Plus, he also connected the fact that flu season seemed to be down, and he put the two together. Flu season's down. Hospitals don't seem from the outside to be overloaded, and therefore this whole idea of a surge is just something that the government is saying in order to control the population, and was not true. And therefore, that was his belief system. That's how he made sense of things. Now, there was a lot of evidence he didn't have. My wife had it. She was in the hospital, on the wards. She saw what was going on inside. He didn't see what was going on inside. All he had were pictures taken by other people, videos taken by other people, which were showing, you know, a hospital that didn't seem to be very, very busy. That was obviously not the case. What was going on inside? There were COVID wards which were very busy and people were dying inside them. He wasn't privy to that. But from what he was privy to and from the information he did have, he felt the need to make sense of it all, and he came to conclusions which simply were incorrect, which is not factual. And that is the danger of our need for coherence, our need for seeking meaning in something. Because one takes the knowledge that one has, and often one doesn't have access to more knowledge than that, because that data is not available to us, maybe just not made available to us personally. Perhaps in some cases, it's not available to us humans, as in the case of what happens after we die. And we just don't know the answers to it. Now, in a case of what happens after we die, we have options of things we can believe in. But in the case of not having knowledge about what was going on during COVID, you see things, you draw conclusions, you connect the dots, and then things then become meaningful to you, and you seek meaning in it, and then you come to conclusions, and then you point your finger at the government and say the government's just trying to control us. This is just one more piece of evidence that the government's trying to control us. Interestingly, when people draw conclusions to gain a sense of coherence from things that they don't have full knowledge of or full evidence for, the conclusions will often fit in with a already preconceived worldview. So people will look around and will say, hey, I already believe that the government's just out to control me. That's something they already believe. And then they will look around and they will find evidence to fit that narrative and that preconceived belief system. And that, as a matter of fact, that because that concept of the government's trying to control us is something that is a narrative in their life, it's something that gives their life overall meaning, when they seek meaning in the smaller things, they will find meaning in those smaller things which fit in to the things that already give their life meaning in the larger things. So it's, psychologists actually call this confirmation bias. You know, you look around and you see the world around you and you select the evidence that already fits in and confirms your already pre-held belief system, and everything you see actually just reinforces that which you already believe in. Confirmation bias. And that's all about because we seek meaning and we already have meta-narratives which give our life meaning, and then we try and look at everything else to fit in with those meta-narratives. It's all because we are seeking meaning. We are meaning seekers as humans. That, as I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, is actually a very good thing, but it also has a lot of dangers for us as humans, which could lead us astray. And it's actually, being led astray is something which ultimately can have very negative consequences for us in our lives. We can make decisions which can hurt us, or could, at the very least, not lead us to our full potential. Because we jump to conclusions about things based on our desire for meaning, rather than based on, you know, what the facts are. So we need to be very careful to make sure that when we seek meaning in things, we are, A, this is something that we can actually find meaning in because we know enough, we have enough evidence, or B, that this is something that if we're going to accept something to believe in it because we don't have enough evidence, we don't have enough data, that thing we're believing in is actually not going to cause us harm. It's not going to lead us astray. And think about all the different types of beliefs that you can have which can actually cause you harm. My son was just recently spent some time with a spiritual person, I guess, in Israel. And this person was telling my son, you don't have to worry about your livelihood at all. Don't worry about your livelihood. That's something that shouldn't be your concern at all. Don't worry about how you're going to make money. You know, just follow your heart, etc., etc. Now, while part of that is correct, you should, you know, follow your passions, follow what you truly desire. But if you don't worry about how you're going to pay your bills, inevitably, you're not going to take the steps that will result in you being able to make money to pay your bills. So you do have to concern yourself with it. But this person has a belief system which says he shouldn't concern himself about it at all. And when my son looks around and observes that this person actually doesn't have any money at all, and he seems not to necessarily be able to pay his bills properly, and doesn't have what he needs fully to support his family, etc., etc. Well, if you believe that you don't have to worry about that at all, you probably won't worry about it, and therefore you probably won't have. So it's an outcome of a belief which could be incorrect, and the outcome could actually harm him and his family. So it matters what you believe, and it matters the how you make meaning in your life. And it actually matters that you are able to differentiate between meaning which comes about from actually correctly putting the dots together, like the scientific method does, which actually puts the dots together in a way in which can create building blocks for the next thing, for the next thing, for the next thing, which can eventually bring huge amount of creativity and can be a great boon for humanity. And then meaning, which is based on just some kind of confirmation bias and just based on, you know, self-serving needs or just, you know, you putting things together, which could result in conspiracy theories and being lazy about actually finding the deep and true meaning about things. Now, in business, this is incredibly important because in business, the bottom line never lies. If you go wrong and you just base your contention about a business opportunity based on confirmation bias or based upon just the way you see things, but not necessarily on what's actually going on in the world based on real evidence that you've gone out there and collected to make sure that there is a real market for your product and there's a real need for what you are offering in terms of your services. Because if you don't do that, it will show in the bottom line. There is no lying about that. This has been Levi Brackman with the Wisdom for Business and Life podcast. Thank you so much for listening. And till next time, have a wonderful day and a wonderful week.